Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. Now we are starting a new series called The Love of the Lord. Now what do you love the most? We have so many things that we love. It could be sports, it could be entertainment, it could be money, it could be myself. But the Bible clearly says you need to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with everything that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to learn about what it means to love the Lord, which is very, very important calling for us. It is called the Great Commandment. We have a great commission, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. But the equally great commandment is significant. We need to love the Lord with everything we are. So let's look at the text today, which is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and yet an eye salve to anoint your eye so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. This is God's word. Now let's look at verse 14 again. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write. So we have the object of this letter. Of course, this is a book of Revelation. The first three chapters are written to the churches, seven churches. And this is the Laodicea church. And who is writing this to this church? It says, "The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this." Now, who is this? This is talking about Jesus Christ. So Jesus himself is speaking to the church. Now, let's see verses 15 through 16 again. It says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you are cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." What does Jesus mean here about Laodicean church? Now, Laodicean church was described as a lukewarm church. It was not either cold or hot. Now, we need to look at this in the historical context. Laodicea was one of the wealthiest cities in the Roman world. It was flourishing in culture, agriculture, and also commercial world as well. It had their own banking industry, which was very successful. Let me give you one example how powerful this city was. In 60 AD, there was a big earthquake in this city, but this city, Laodicea, was able to rebuild herself without getting any aid from outside. So it really shows how powerful, how flourishing economically this city was. But the city had one big problem, which was the water source. It had a very inadequate water resource so that it could not produce hot or cold water. It could produce only lukewarm water, which was not useful at all. The people drank it and spit it out. That's how useless that water system they had. But the problem was the surrounding cities had a really good water system, so they could produce hot medicinal water to heal people, or they could produce cold water, cold, fresh, pure water so that people could drink. But this city, Laodicea, could not do any of them. So they could not really provide healing, provide drinking water for their people. Even though they were flourishing outside economically, but they had a most important issue, which was the water. Now, Jesus is using this to illustrate what kind of status, what kind of reality the Laodicean church had. Now, Laodicean church was doing really well outside, but inside, they were lacking the most important thing, which is the water, the living water that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who heals and who provides the real drinking water. But this church, Laodicean church, was lacking that most important source. But the problem was, the bigger problem is this, they did not know about that. They thought everything was just fine. It says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, do you see what's going on here? This city was saying, that this church was saying, we're fine, we're rich. We don't really need anything. So they're thinking that they are self-sufficient when they were not actually. Because it says they were blind and they were poor and they were naked. Now, what does it mean being blind? Here is a spiritual blindness. But also, they were naked. What does that mean? It's spiritually speaking, it means that they are sinners in shame. Just like if you were being naked in front of all people, you'll be in big shame, just like that. This church was naked in front of God. They were in shame inside of God. However, because their eyes were closed and blinded, they thought they were fine, even in front of God. So they were saying, we're fine. So they had so much of a self-sufficiency that we don't need anything when they need everything, right? Because they were naked in front of God. Now, that is really the problem that we see even these days as well. When you say lukewarm, lukewarm is not like doing nothing and being lazy, but the lukewarm here in this passage really means the spiritual pride. Now, where does this pride come? It comes from the spiritual blindness. Now look at the prideful people, arrogant people. They are like, I'm this and I'm that and I'm better than you. But problem is, they also have lots of problems, right? Maybe their problem could be worse than normal people, but they don't see it. And they only think about the best part that they do and they are. Now that is a really significant problem. Galatians 6:3, it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You see what's going on here? When you think that you are something when you are not, you are lying. But not just lying, you are proud of yourself, you're arrogant. And that is spiritual pride and spiritual blindness. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. This is a spiritual pride. Now, this is what Pharisees were doing. Pharisees knew a lot about the Bible. So they were thinking they were fine, but Jesus rebuked them and they say, you are brood of vipers. The Pharisees were definitely humiliated because they thought they were fine, but they were not fine. And I was the same as well, because as I mentioned about my testimony, how I came to Jesus Christ, you know, I grew up in the church and I literally lived in the church building. So everything I did and I was the reading the Bible and, you know, doing all the good Christian work. So I thought I was fine. But when I was in college, you know, someone asked me the question, do you know the gospel? I thought that was really, really a silly question, because if this person was a spiritual enough, he would know that I was pastor's kid, that he would know that I read Bible so many times. But the reality was this, I did not really know the gospel. I knew about the gospel as an information, but I did not know the gospel as the transforming power. So it took me 2 years that God led me to really see who I was. when I opened up the Bible, it really shows, it showed that how wretched person I was, how sinful person I was, how much I needed the Lord, the Savior, to forgive my sins. So after 2 years later, in September 2000, God finally forgave my sin. But I'm so thankful that God opened my eyes to see the spiritual reality that I was naked in front of God. I needed God so much. Okay? So that's how I got saved, right? But the Laodicean church and so many people, even in the church, they think they are fine as long as they go to church on Sunday, as long as they study the Bible together with someone, No, the problem is, well, we'll see more problem and how that problem can be solved later. But the problem is this, spiritual blindness. If they do not really know who they are in front of God, then they are in the spiritual arrogance and they are lukewarm Christians. Or they're not even Christians, right? They are lukewarm. Okay? So we have to be very careful about that. Now, Jesus is telling us now how you can solve that problem of lukewarmness. Let's look at verse 18. Verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. So Jesus is saying the three things. The first one is gold. You need to buy the gold refined by fire. Now, what does that really mean? The 1 Peter 1:7 says, the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold refined by fire. Now, what does that mean? You know, 1 Peter is really going through the gospel truth that you are being born again by the Holy Spirit and you are preserved for the salvation that it will be revealed in the later time at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in this, you are greatly rejoiced. So even when you go through the various trials and difficulties, so the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold. So it really means that you need to live a life of endurance as Christian, refined by fire. Now, white garment means righteousness. In Ephesians 4:22-24, it really shows that you need to put off your old self, which is contaminated by the lust of deceits, but you need to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, in the righteousness, holiness, and the truth. So the new self, that is the white garment, the righteousness, not from your own self, but the righteousness from Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the second one. And the third one is what? Eye salve. Now, what does eye salve mean? John 9:39 says, Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. That Jesus is the judgment, a judge, and he came so that you can see. So you need to receive what Jesus is saying to you. You need to see, you need to receive that Jesus' judgment, the righteous judgment, judgment on you, so that you can truly see where you are. Just like I experienced 20 years ago, that, you know, the God's word was judging what kind of person I was, but it was not really for the sake of the judgment itself, but it was to save me, to really forgive my sins. So you need to receive that. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Just like the doctors, when doctors diagnose you, if you have any disease, he would say, you have this problem, not to shame you or not to kill you, but to heal you or cure you. Okay, just like that, Jesus is coming as a judge, not to kill you, not to condemn you, but to save you. Now what you need to do is receive him, receive his invitation. Just look at verse 20, that Jesus is knocking on the door. Now a lot of people use this verse as an invitation for the non-believers to come to Jesus Christ, but we need to look at the context here. This letter was written to a church, not necessarily to a non-believers, to the church that Jesus loves. That the problem that this church had was this, that this was the Jesus-less church, the lukewarm church, the self-sufficient church. Like, I am rich. I don't really need anything. I can do a lot of things with my own power. That is the lukewarm, the spiritual blind and spiritual pride-ness. So that we need to be careful not to fall into that trap. Now, we need to receive Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Not to be saved, but to depend on him, to trust in him, to worship him, to walk with him all the days of our lives, because we need him. Now, when you do that, what happens? Your life will be changed, transformed. You will not be lukewarm Christian anymore. You will be a radical Christian. Even death is gain to them. Let's look at Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see what Paul is saying? Paul was in prison. He could be dead at any time, but he praised God for that, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, it's just like he confessed in the Galatians 2:20, the Christ lives in me. When you receive Jesus Christ, he is in you. You cannot be lukewarm anymore. You cannot be self-sufficient, because you are always depending on Christ who lives in you. You're always walking with Christ who lives in you, and you work together with him, with Christ who lives in you. You cannot trust in yourself. You cannot depend on yourself. You'll be always depending on Christ who lives in you. That is the life of radical Christian. But if you still remain as a lukewarm Christian, you will not look for Jesus. You will not depend on God. You will be depending on yourself. You're not even looking at the church body, the brothers and sisters. You will always look at yourself, and you think that you're fine and you're rich and you can do everything. When you're not, you're blinded. You are naked. You are poor inside of God. So that you need to depend on Christ each day by receiving him each day, depending on him each day. So do not say, I am rich, but say this, Christ is rich. Just like Ephesians 3:7 says, this grace was given to me so that I can proclaim the rich, unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ. And do not say, oh, I don't need anything. I'm not lacking anything. You say, Christ is perfect. He is my everything. Just like Ephesians 3:19, it says, to know Christ's love, which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the fullness of God. There is a fullness in Christ Jesus. We cannot have that fullness in human rich or human resources. Only in Christ Jesus you can be perfectly filled. So that please don't say, I'm rich, I don't need anything. We need to say, Christ is rich and Christ is everything to me. Look at what Job said. Job had it all. He was the richest person in the town, and he had beautiful and handsome sons and daughters. However, when he lost it all, you know, he was even he cursed his day of birth. But through that suffering, he met God, and he gained everything. Not because of the possessions that he regained, but because of God. When he had God, he had everything. He was not lacking anything. Now, what about David? David was a king, but David was saying, God, I am poor. I am desperate for you. Listen to his singing. He was not talking about the earthly possessions he had. He was always constantly acknowledging that he was nothing without God. And that is who we are. We are nothing without God. God is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the provider. He is the protector. So without him, we are nothing. Without him, there's nowhere to go. So the spiritual reality we are is this. We are nothing without him. So every day, we need to depend on God. The more you read the Bible, the more you trust the Lord. The more you pray, the more you trust the Lord. The more you do for the Lord, the more you love the Lord. That is what the radical Christian is. But if you do opposite, you will remain as the lukewarm Christian, and God will spit you out. That would be the most scary thing. So, my friends, brothers and sisters, let's be careful. Let's not become lukewarm Christians anymore. We are not perfect. We need God. Let this be the continual prayer before the Lord. Say, I need you, God. I need you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for this warning that you did toward the Laodicean church. They were spiritually blinded because they had a spiritual pride that they thought they were good, they were okay, when they are not okay. So Father, please help us to see the spiritual reality that where we are, that we will not be self-sufficient, but we'll be always depending on you, that we'll be always following you and loving you more than any other things, Lord. So Father, please help us and guide us. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen.